Can I tell you a story? It's actually a true story, very, very true. It's absolutely true. This was a bricklayer, and he'd finished a job. And for some reason, when he finished the job, he had 500 pounds of bricks on the roof. You know, he kind of brick going up. And they took a few too many bricks up. Four-story building. He had 500 pounds of bricks on the roof. And he'd sent all his workers home. And he thought, you know, the next day, I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'm going to rig up a pulley system and a barrel. And I'm going to get all those down myself. Say myself. Myself. Anyways, I'm going to read to you the actual words taken from his insurance claim. True story. It would have taken too long to carry the bricks down by hand, so I decided to put them in a barrel and to lower them down by a pulley, which I had fastened to the top of the building. After tying the ropes securely at ground level, I then went up to the top of the building and I fastened the rope around the barrel and I loaded the barrel with the bricks and I swung it out over the sidewalk for descent. 500 pounds of bricks in a barrel with a pulley tied up, ready to go. He's ready to bring the bricks down. Then I went down to the sidewalk to untie the rope, holding it securely to guide the barrel down slowly. But since I only weigh 140 pounds, the barrel was filled with 500 pounds of bricks. The load jerked me up from the ground so fast I didn't have time to think of letting go of the rope. As I passed between the second and third floor, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations on my upper body. I held tightly to the rope until I reached the top, where my hand became jammed into the pulley. This accounts for my broken thumb. At the same time, however, the barrel hit the sidewalk with a bang, and the bottom fell out of the barrel. With the weight of the bricks gone, the barrel now only weighed 40 pounds, and I weighed 140 pounds. I began a swift descent, and as I descended, I met the barrel swiftly coming up. This accounts for my broken ankle. Slowed only a slightly and a bit, I continued this descent and I landed on top of the pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and my broken collarbone. At this point, I lost my presence of mind completely and I let go of the rope. The empty barrel came crashing down on me and this accounts for my head injuries. How many can see all of that? Technicolor. There's one more question on the form. It says, what would you do if the situation arose again? To which he answered, please be advised that I'm finished trying to do the job alone. Please be advised I'm finished trying to do the job alone. Happy Easter. I want to tell you, you don't have to do this alone. I want you to say today, I'm finished trying to do this on my own. Because there's someone that's for you. There's someone that wants to help you. There's someone who's proved over and over again that he's ready to work on your behalf and minister to your life. Do you want to hear about that? Well, let me read you a story. If you thought that story was hard to believe, I'm going to give you one that's really crazy. Mark chapter 16, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went and brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb and when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone for us? Who will open the door to the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. Say, and Peter. Wasn't enough to tell all the disciples and Peter. I love that God built that in there. Peter, who denied his Savior, walked away, was so zealous, he chopped off the ear of one of the soldiers. I'm going to go with you. I'll die with you. And yet in the end, he renounced him. But it made special attention to say, and Peter. Make sure that everybody hears and Peter. Maybe you feel like Peter. Maybe you feel like, you know, yeah, I don't know what he cares about me. No, he cares about you on purpose, intentionally and personally. and Peter, that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. And he said to you, so they went out quickly and they fled from the tomb. So they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Isn't that wild? Go tell them. And they said nothing. Skip down a couple of verses. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Isn't that great? He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. What's amazing is Jesus had to ascend and go right to the Father. The first fruits offering meant that God is first, and he should always experience first. So he literally said, Father, hang on a little bit. Look at Mary. I mean, this is too much for me. Look at Mary in the garden. She's weeping. She thinks I'm gone. She's desperate. The only thing that brought hope in her life and elevated her status as a woman. And here she is alone in the garden. I'm going to do a little quick drive-by and just say hi. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's a big deal. Mary, out of whom he'd cast seven demons, and she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. How ridiculous. See, God established it right there that the first person to preach the gospel would be a woman. How disappointing. There's some churches that don't think women can preach. Yet the first person to preach the gospel was Mary Magdalene. Stop it! Okay, just, please. Later, he appeared to the 11 and he sat at the table and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Now, that's a pretty amazing story. The carpenter born to Mary Magdalene. There was a story that, you know, wasn't really Joseph's child. There was something behind all of that. But this one said he was the Son of God. He said, I am the Father of one, this one. And then he was crucified and he died and was put in a tomb. And apparently he rose from the dead. Makes the brick story team seem totally plausible. God became flesh and dwelt among us, moved into the neighborhood and cared about us. He didn't just come and move in. He identified with every single issue that we could ever had. And his blood was shed over every sin and every disappointment. And that pure, precious blood allowed him to yield his spirit up to the Father. And that blood is how the Son of God was raised from the dead and now has a new, glorious body. And there is a man seated on the throne right now. God came from heaven and he became a man. And that man who was very much God, that man went to heaven so that men can be restored to God. He became the Son of Man so that we could become the sons of God. It's a great deal. It's a great, great deal. Whole series we're doing is Washed. It's from Revelation 1, 5, and 6. To him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory forever and ever, dominion forever and ever. Amen. This whole plan is to give him glory. He wants us to participate in a plan of redeeming all of mankind, us now face to face, bringing transformation to our culture right now. True redemption is found exclusively in the blood of Jesus. A working revelation of the blood of Jesus will give you an ongoing access to the glory. Where the blood's applied, the glory is manifest. The Spirit answers to the blood. Where the blood is manifest, where the blood is confessed, where we plead the blood, the glory of God comes. Where the blood of Jesus flows, the Holy Spirit goes. Tertullian, one of our early church fathers, he said, the flesh is the hinge of salvation. Who was here on Good Friday? Who was here on Good Friday? That was a good word. You know, we didn't even record it. Oh, well, such a good word. But Tertullian said the flesh is the hinge of salvation. Salvation is grounded in real human experience. Real. The brutality of the cross isn't incidental. It is essential for the healing to be realized. The type and the shadow were lambs that had their throats slit. A very kind of, if it could possibly be, a seemingly humane way to execute something. But Jesus didn't just have his throat slit. He was violently and brutally attacked. From his head to his toe, he was broken and crushed and bruised. And it was important because it was prophesied way before that it would happen and it would be that way. By his stripes we are healed. Because of his bruises and his wounds, we have been set free and our pain has been removed from us forever. So what he did and what happened in his body, it wasn't incidental. It was had to be done for us to experience complete bodily health, healing, and resurrection. And here's the good news. It is done. It was done. And by his stripes, we are healed. Four truths, real quick. Four truths. It had to be blood because life is in the blood. That's the way God made it. Adam is a blood being, compound word, blood and ground. He made life and made Adam with blood. Life is in the blood. But it had to be Jesus' blood. It couldn't be just any blood because his was the pure, precious, spotless blood. There was only one person righteous. He's the only one who earned righteousness in an earth suit. He's the only man who attained righteousness on his own. To all the rest of us, it is a simple gift. It is a simple gift. Not one of us could earn what he has freely given. And don't add a thing to it. It's him. It had to be Jesus' blood, but it had to be shed. It wasn't just that Jesus carried the blood of God. It had to be shed. That's why he was broken from head to toe. And that's why from head to toe, he covered every bit of brokenness you could ever experience. All sin, past, present, and future was put on the cross. Can I get an amen? The blood also has to be applied. That it was shed, that Jesus died for you, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. It's a fact, Jack. He's seated in heaven on the throne room, but it's only appropriated in your life when you say, I agree with that. That's really good news. I'll have some. How simple is that? It's the grace of God through faith, and you are reconciled to God. He's never been far from you, never been distant from you, never been disappointed in you, never not had his eye upon you. He has always loved you, and you've never lived an unloved moment. All you got to do is say, I agree with that. Hallelujah. Amen. We stand before the throne dressed in his righteousness alone. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin. Is anyone dead to sin here? Let me say it again. Did he die on the tree himself? Did he take your sin in his body? Did he? He did that so that we might die to sin. Is anyone here dead to sin? I tell you, he did his part. Just accept it. But I screwed up the other day. Just accept it. He died to that sin condition that you had passed down to you, that delusion of separation from God, that condition that every man had, everyone was in Adam. He died for that. So you are now in Christ. You are in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm not in Adam anymore. You can be one of two places, in Adam or in Christ. Is there anyone in Christ? You can't go back. You didn't bring yourself in. You can't take yourself out. Is anyone in Christ? That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, body, soul, and spirit, completely, completely made whole. 1 Corinthians 15:17-19, if Christ has not been risen, if he's not raised, your faith is useless. Useless. Just pause, everybody. Pause and have a drink. Your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. But we are to be most pitied in the whole world if we just believed in God, but we didn't believe in the miracle of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. If he's not risen, it was just somebody who died for us. There's all kinds of world faiths. There's all kinds of people who believe all kinds of things, and they cope with the absurdity of life, the absurdity of death, with religious constructs and systems and teachings of men. But there's not one other faith where God took care of everything for you. There's no other faith where it says, I do all the heavy lifting. All you do is say, thank you. There's not another faith. All the other faiths have this path of struggle, of hope so. Did I do enough? See, I don't have to wonder, did I do enough to have a relationship with God? I don't have to wonder, did I do enough to have today secure, eternity secure? Did I do enough? I don't have to worry about it because it didn't rest on my performance. It rested on his. And because he did it all, I can say, thank you. How good is that? Wow. If he's not risen, we're to be pitied of all people. Andrew Murray, great writer, he said, a dead Christ I must do everything for, but a living Christ does everything for me. Just soak in that for a second. He does everything for me. It's like me living at home. Cheryl does everything for me. I pulled out some tenderloin last night, and I was just going to fry it and just eat some tenderloin. I'd carved some steaks and there were some tender tips. And I thought, I'm just going to make some tenderloin. So she walked in, of course, and said, what are you doing? I said, I just thought I'd fry up these tender tips and just have a little bit of meat, you know. And she said, oh, get out of the way. And she turned it into a full-blown stew. I just say thank you. That's my whole life. I want to take out the trash, but even when I said to her I would, she still beats me to it. I'm trying. I did good for a few weeks. I gotta wake up at 4 o'clock. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Now may the gospel of peace, the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every way to do his will. The blood of the everlasting covenant is tied to the resurrection. The blood and the resurrection work together. Hebrews 12, 24. And we have come to Jesus, who established a new covenant with his blood, sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Jesus ascended. He said, Mary, don't touch me. I just wanted to say hi, but you can't touch me yet, because I haven't ascended to the Father yet. And he took his own blood and he put it on the mercy seat. See, later on, Thomas, put your hand in here. Later on, you could touch him. Later on, but don't touch me. I am the first fruits. I must see the Father first. But he took his own blood and he poured it on the mercy seat before the Father. The blood that continues to speak. It didn't speak. It continues to speak. The blood is speaking right now. The blood speaks every day. The blood never stops speaking from heaven. It speaks forgiveness. It speaks a better message than Abel's blood that cries from the earth, justice. And justice is this. Justice is love removing everything that is not love. That's justice. Justice is love removing everything that is not love. Abel's blood cried from the ground, but Jesus' blood speaks from the throne. Abel's blood said something's wrong. It's a better word. It speaks a better word of Abel's. Abel's blood was something's wrong, but Jesus' blood says everything has been made right. And his blood speaks every day to you. Everything is right. Everything is right. Everything is right. Is everything right with you? Amen. All right. Colossians 2:12. You were co-buried with him, and then you were raised to new life because you were united to him. Great words. Synergreo, sinful, raised together with, and then the other word is grown together with, literally fused into one. See, everything that Jesus did, when you believe that, you receive that, he has brought everything in creation back into union with himself. You are one spirit with God. You can't get any closer to God. You're not closer to God because you came to church today. You're closer to me. Thank you very much. But you're not closer to God. You can never get yourself closer to God. There's nothing you could do to earn his closeness. He did it, and he brought you all the way in. Isn't it great? Jesus said in John 17, he said, Father, I want the fellowship that I have with you. I want them to have the same fellowship that we do. So the fellowship that you have with the Godhead is the same that Jesus, the Spirit, and the Father have with each other. You have the same union that the God has with itself. There's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and look, it's Carl. And you have absolute union with the Godhead, and he did that for you. He did that for you. You are not watching Jesus when you are inside the victory. Colossians 3:1, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Isn't that great? Passion Translation put it like that. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. So you're not trying to become something. You are awakening to who you already are in him. It's your mind that was broken and shattered, and you were an enemy in your own mind to God. Your mind is being renewed, and your mind is beginning to recognize what your spirit already knows, that you are one with the Godhead, and he's nuts about you. Here's a picture. It's an elevator. I went on the elevator on Thursday, went to visit Birdie and say hi to her and just spend some time with her, you know, first Easter, where she's going to be separated from Bill. Separated physically, but we know Bill's with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is a much better thing. We went to visit her, and you know, we had to go on an elevator. And you know, to get to the sixth floor, we had to stay on the elevator. We got in, and we stayed in, And it took us all the way there. Literally, I don't even know. Maybe there's a hatch above. I don't know. But you ever tried to crawl out of an elevator? You ever struggled in the elevator? But we got to the sixth floor. Cheryl and I had a full-on fight between the ground floor and the sixth floor. We had a horrible fight, a tragic thing. She threw me around the elevator. But you know what? We still made it to the sixth floor. Doesn't matter what happened in that elevator. We were secure, and we reached our destination. That didn't really happen, okay? Some of you are like, oh my God. I'd never fight with Cheryl. Have you seen her knuckles? Oh my God. Have you seen her feet? Is Cheryl here? Lord have mercy. You've been in Christed. You've been in Christed. You are in. You're absolutely in. You are in Christ Jesus. The door shut. Boom. You are in. You don't have to do a thing. And you know what? Even when you're in Christ, you could fall on the floor. You could have a fight with your friend. You could bicker. You could do something stupid. You could go have a beer in Christ, and you're still in Christ. In the ark, nasty storm outside, everybody inside. They could fall all over the place, fight with each other, the toilet stop working, everything. But you know what? You're on the ark, and you're going to get through to the other side. You've been in Christed, and nothing can separate you from his love. It is done. Amen. Can I get an amen? Come on. See, that's right. That's right. Say, come on, Joey. Come on. Come on. In Jesus' humanity, Jesus' humanity has been carried into the very life of the Trinity. That's Baxter Kruger. You should read Baxter. In Jesus, humanity has been carried into the very life of the Trinity. Ephesians 2:6, he raised us up with Christ. We were dead, we were doomed and dominated, but we've been made alive, we've been raised up, and we've been seated. Oh, I got Pentecostal there. Hallelujah. Raised up, and we are seated. Say seated. Why do you sit down? Because you're done. Because it's finished. You're done. You sit down because it's my turn. All right. Well, you see, boom, we're seated with him. It's finished. That word right there, seated together with him. You're not trying to get there. You are already enthroned in him. Romans 4:25. There's a sermon in here somewhere. Just hang around. Romans 4:25. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. Was he crucified? Are you forgiven? Was he crucified? Are you forgiven? Amen. Look at this. And he was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. Is he risen? Are you right with God? Absolutely. Absolutely. You are forgiven and you've been made right with God in every way. There's nothing to be added to it, nothing else. It is finished. So say for us. Say for us. For us. All right, you guys say for, and you guys say us. This side's better. You guys win. We got some sandwiches that we didn't have yesterday. They were some in the fridge for you. All right. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? What do we say about all this? What do we say about all these things I'm sharing with you today? What do we say? How do we respond to this? What do we say about all this? If, and that if, there's five ifs in the Greek language, the Greek language. Everybody drink. The Greek language, and this is since, this is because of, therefore, since. God is for us. What did I say? God is, hey, what shall we say about these things, all these wonderful things? Since God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Is God for you? He absolutely is. He's never going to change his mind. Even on your worst day, God is still for you. He's nuts about you. He's crazy about you. Verse 32, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up. Sorry? Sorry? All right, let's try again. For? You guys can do better. Like, turn to your neighbor, help him, say, come on. Come on, you're letting us down. Okay, all right, let's try it again. You ready? Settle down, settle down. My God. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Does the lobster come with the buffet, or do you have to pay extra? It's all included. He gave his own son for us. How much more along with him will he not give us everything else? So, rhetorical question. It's a rhetorical question. And it's a question that makes a statement rather than to elicit information. So it makes a statement. And in this case, it argues the greater to the lesser. He gave you this, then this is no big deal. He gave you this, trust me, everything else, it's in. He gave you this, all of the rest just follows. He gave you this, and the rest is chasing you down. Let me bring it down to an area that you could understand, all right? Let me help you. Let me paint a picture so that you can really grasp what I'm talking about. All right, here it is. Go ahead. Now, let me show you this. Let me go back. Let's go ahead. Let's go back. Let's go ahead. Okay. How many got it? Who got it? Did you get it? The greater to the lesser. The greater to the lesser. Just, you got to see that in a picture now so you can understand. Being a Leafs fan, woo! Anything else? Yeah, whatever. Was that helpful? Wow. Amazing how you can be doing a good sermon and get in the flesh just like that and you know, lose half. Verse 33, say verse 33. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. Who dares accuse us? God chose us for his own. No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. How did you get in right standing with God? God did it. God, there's no other way. If you're trying to find your own way in, you can't. It's him. It's his righteousness alone. God did this himself. Verse 34. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died and was raised to life. And he is sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand pleading. Man, that line dancing is coming in handy. Come on, verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Could anything separate us from Christ? Man, religion preaches separation. They preach, well, he was for you, you did good, you started well, but now he's ticked off with you, he's mad at you, he's turned his back on you. That's horrible religion. Religion is this. Here's my definition of religion. You got one more thing to do. Oh, there's one more thing to do. I hate that, don't you? There's no more things to do. It's done. No more doo-doo. It's done. Say no to the doo-doo. Say done. Nothing can separate me from Christ's love. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or, well, brother, you must be far from God. You're going through trouble. You know, you're hungry, you know, no blessing on your life. You probably did something stupid. God's not for you. It says right here, he's for us. No matter what, nothing can separate. I mean, does it mean he doesn't love us if we get into trouble? Anybody got into trouble? Anybody looked at the gas price recently? I mean, don't worry about it. It's all right. Praise Jesus. You know, tell Jesus just to get you a deal everywhere else in your life. He'll work it out. Amen? Does it mean he no longer loves us? We have trouble or calamity. We're persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death. Verse 36 and 37. As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, that should say in all these things, because when you're in one of those circumstances, listen, in any one of those circumstances, in any one of those situations, I am in the place of overwhelming victory. I am condemned to another life of victory, another day of victory. Stuff happens, and it will. But even in the midst of all of that, I am condemned to overwhelming victory is mine through Christ Jesus, who loved us. This word's only used once. It only shows up once in the Bible, shows up right here. And it does mean overwhelming victory. It means super conquerors. It means to vanquish beyond. I even helped you pronounce it right there. It's hupernikeo. Hupernikeo. It's only found one time in the Bible right there. Who are you? Hupernikeo. Some trouble, some problem comes your way, you just hupernikeo. You're welcome. I saw that as being a more powerful event. Hupernikeo, this word only once. I am condemned to overwhelming victory. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing, which includes you. Are any created things here today? Yeah, but I could screw up and I could separate myself. No, you're included here. Even your goofed up self. Sorry, Pastor. Did you call me goofed up self? Even you goofing up can't change the fact that he loves you and he's nuts about you. He might pull you aside and have a conversation because he loves you. But nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing, nothing, not one of these things shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.